This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food.
Oh my God!
What was that? Is that cheese? Have you eaten cheese? How much cheese have you eaten today?
How much cheese is too much cheese?
Any amount of cheese before a date is too much cheese.
I had a lot of cheese. I had a block of cheese.
Okay, just a block of cheese.
I was very nervous. I started eating cheese, man.
All right, does that calm
you down?
Just don't breathe in her direction, okay? Whatever you do.
Charlie Kelly loves Too Much Cheese on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It reminds me, when I was in seminary, a classmate of mine gave up cheese for Lent. He lost around 15 pounds. It was amazing. Like him, dairy fat is my weakness. I like dairy fat in almost all forms, especially cheese. But cheese has a lot of fat and calories, it's high in cholesterol, and it's from animals, which is an issue for some. Now listen to what Ben Stiller has to say on Conan O'Brien.
And then I started to eat vegan.
Oh, you're a vegan now.
Well, I don't like calling myself a vegan, but I feel like, yeah, that's weird to be called a vegan.
You don't like that.
I feel like it puts you in a, like, it's strange. You know, people look at you strangely. I had to tell my parents I was a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
I came out to them. they were a little bit confused at first, but now they're supportive.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah. You know, you can have things to substitute. Like, instead of a cheeseburger, you could have, like, a hummus burger with nut cheese on it.
You have the nut cheese hummus burger.
A lot of nut cheese in my life.
What did he say there in the end?
A lot of nut cheese in my life.
He said, a lot of nut cheese in my life. A friend of mine who is vegan visited me in the early 2000s when I lived in the UK. I bought some vegan cheese from the supermarket, which she refused to eat. She knew by the brand that it had an unpleasant taste and an unpleasant texture. After she left, and not wanting to waste food, I tried every which way to disguise it until it was gone. It was horrible every which way I tried, even mixing it with dairy-based cheese in sauces. When I heard about vegan cheese here on the Central Coast, I was intrigued. How is it made? What does it taste like? Surely it is better than that stuff I had so many years ago. So I trekked up to Paso Robles to visit Vreemery.
My name is Jennifer Golden, and I'm with the Vreemery in Paso Robles. That's Vreemery with a V as in vegan, not C as in cow. The Vreemery is a plant-based, dairy-free, vegan cheese company. We produce raw, also cooked, meltable, and cultured cheeses. All vegan.
Plant-based. So what's the milk? Do you like take dandelion milk and make it into cheese?
Not yet. I use a lot of coconut milk, although you don't taste any of the coconut in the cheese. I do cultured cashew. I've used almond milk, and currently I'm experimenting with rice, making rice cheese. We'll try one of those today. You can buy the milks. Ideally, it's better if you make it yourself because there aren't all these additives like xanthan gum and carrageenan and different thickeners. But certainly people have experimented with both homemade milks as well as milks that you can buy in the store. Well, I haven't actually made my own coconut milk. I have made coconut yogurt, but I have made my own almond milk and cashew milk. And plenty of people make rice milk and soy milk. Although I haven't.
The term plant-based initially had me confused, but nut milks and rice milk now make sense. Now that it has been clarified, we get down to the nitty-gritty as Jennifer prepares for her guests for a tasting and demonstration.
The thing about cheese is that you're coagulating the proteins, right?
Right.
And I would imagine rice doesn't have a lot of protein.
Right. So instead of using rennet and getting curds, we use tapioca, which comes from the cassava root. Some people will use carrageenan, which we will actually be using today. It is a natural ingredient that comes from red algae and then tapioca starch. Combine those two things, create the meltability and the stretch, and then the ability for it to recombine. Say if you made a pizza and you ate half of it and that cheese had melted on the pizza, but then you put it in the fridge, it would firm back up because of those two ingredients.
Amazing. Was this something you learned how to do on the internet, or are you the creator of this?
No, there's plenty of people out there doing it right now. There's a woman named Mayoko Shinner. She's up in Sonoma, and about 5 or 6 years ago, she came up with the concept of culturing her nuts, which gave the cheeses that she was making incredible depth of flavor. So just like in kombucha making or beer or wine where you're fermenting and culturing these different good bacteria, it creates a much bigger flavor profile than otherwise would be had without the culture. And so she really opened up the door to a lot of vegan enthusiasts that were interested in learning how to make cheese.
Then Jennifer's guests arrived. Among them was Diane, Jennifer's friend, assistant, and official tester. She herself is lactose intolerant and trying to lower her cholesterol. The rest were from out of town. Justin is a chef starting a vegan restaurant. Rachel and Andrew were on their anniversary weekend, both lactose intolerant, but can't resist cheese. Belle is on the warpath with processed food and doesn't like vegetables. Samantha is vegan and wants to learn more. And Andrew, Samantha's husband, is supportive of veganism and is himself 95% there. From here, we go into the tasting in Jennifer's spacious, and might I say echoey, kitchen, living room, dining room, so most people sound a little distant.
I got started after watching Forks Over Knives and What the Health and just learning about how dorked up our food system is. So I started working on making seitan, which is wheat meat, mm-hmm. and it was very hard. It's very much in the realm of baking, and I don't have much skill with baking. And so I, at the same time, started doing the cheese, and then I was sharing it with like my mom and Diane and other people, and people were saying, that cheese is really good, you're onto something. I love cheese, and I seem to be fine, but in the last several years, I just get very stuffy. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like I get stomach aches or anything, but I'm just very stuffy. I got turned on to two YouTube personalities that both were doing cheese, and that's sort of where I got introduced, and then I found Mayoko's book and just started experimenting. So there's sort of three categories of vegan cheese. One is the quick make, which is what we're gonna do today. It's a meltable mozzarella. We make it now, it sets up in 8 hours, and then it's good to go, and you can use it directly. You can eat it plain, or you can eat it like on a pizza, for example. Then there are cultured cheeses. Those are a longer process. It could take 24 to 72 hours to culture whatever it is that you're using, whether it's the cashews or if you're going to make the Rejuvelac first by sprouting your grains and then using that fluid to make your to crush your nuts and make your cheese. Once you've got your culture all going, it takes 24 to 72 hours, and then your cheese still needs a little time to set up. But you get amazing flavor out of that naturally through the good bacteria doing their dance. Then there's aged cheeses, and when we're done, I'll show you a couple aged cheeses I'm doing for an event, and it'll be the longest cheese I've aged. It'll be about 7 or 8 weeks old. Just like in a conventional dairy, they flip the cheese every day, and the air is circulating around it, and it's getting a firm skin around it. And they flip it to keep the texture the same on all sides, and expose it to the same amount of air on all sides. And just like conventional cheese, you can age it for like a year. They develop in their flavor. They get harder because they become more dehydrated. So we have one cheese today that we'll try on the plate that is aged, and it's aged from early July. It's like a smoky cheddar.
Now it is time to taste Jennifer's beautifully crafted and presented vegan cheese.
This is the one that we're making today, the yellow one. It's cashew based. It's a quick make, it's not cultured. We are gonna get the cultured tang through an ingredient that we add called lactic acid. The white one is the one that I make and I sell at market. I don't use cashew in mine. This one's cashew based, that's why it's yellow. Mine is white, I strictly use coconut milk with mine. This is the only two that you're getting without it being in something. This one kind of give you a sense of the difference. So it's the first one is pretty good. Because it's at room temperature, it's a little bit more squishy, but it melts beautiful. Mm-hmm. So the lactic acid is, this comes from sugar beets. You can add lemon juice or lime juice if you don't want to use this. I don't want the lemon flavor, mm-hmm. and I'm doing it, trying to be as consistent as possible, like you were saying. So I always just use a product that's stable and that's the same all the time. Mm-hmm. The second thing with the melting cheeses is Kappa carrageenan. This is also comes from red algae, and it's a thickener. It helps make it solid, and it also helps with the meltability. The next one that I would offer you to try is this guy, and this is truffle butter. It's made with coconut oil. It's a quick make. It's cultured by virtue of the miso and that Bragg's apple cider vinegar. And because it's not heated, those cultures remain alive and keep going. This is wonderful, just like however you'd use butter, pasta, eggs. There's so many variations that you can do with this. You can put dill in it. You could put nothing in it and just have it be plain butter. You could put lemon zest. You could put maple date in it. I mean, there's just so much that you could do with that, just that butter alone. The next little guy is gorgonzola. in the date. So this is the only one I do that's soy-based. It's organic, non-GMO soy, and it's colored with spirulina. If you, you know, it's great like on burgers or crumbled on the salad. The next one is little vegetable sandwich and the pea taco deal. Mm-hmm. So that's my ranch. It's a ranch dip, but if you were to add your own milk of choice, it could be a salad dressing. This is also cultured by virtue of the ingredients that I'm putting in it. This next one, it's a potato and my cultured sour cream, which is a cashew cultured cream, and then topped with my version of Parmesan, which is toasted sesame seed, toasted pumpkin seed, cashew, almond, and pine nuts, all ground up, and then it's got a bunch of different ingredients in it. And again, you can play with it. You can add oregano if you want or whatever. A little bit of coconut oil to help, it gives it texture. Nutritional yeast, miso, apple cider vinegar. All right, so the next one is like a new one, the lettuce leaf guy. Bok choy, a little bit of arugula, teeny little bit of fennel, and then that's my brie, which is made with rice. When I cut it and put it on, it had like the white around it, like that you would see on a normal brie. Okay, so then the apple guy, this is smoky cheddar. It's our best seller. It's a quick make and it's a meltable. The texture is better when it's fresh out of the fridge. Like this will melt beautiful, but it's either melt it or use it firm on your cracker right out of the fridge. Then the last one is my Chev, so it's a cultured cashew, and it's like Chev in like that it's tangy like a goat cheese, and then it has balsamic drizzle on it, so tomato basil on French bread.
Yes, Jennifer's guests were there for tasting her vegan treats, but they were also there to learn to make their own vegan cheese.
What I've already done in here is I've crushed the cashews. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to put the coconut oil into here to start getting warm, because at room temperature it becomes solid, and that's one of the reasons that it's used in vegan cheese making, because you get the fat, the mouthfeel, and you get that firmness when it's cold. This is refined coconut. It's organic, non-GMO, refined coconut oil. And the reason you want to use refined is it does not taste like coconut. The best thing you can do is make your own milk. It is time consuming, but it's better because you're not using any of the things that they put in commercial milk, like xanthan gum or capecarbonin and other additives. The first thing I'm gonna add is, this is the tapioca starch. It's the same thing as tapioca flour. It comes from the cassava root.
It's what gives cheese its meltability and stretch.
Just do that for a second to blend it together. So this is nutritional yeast. Then this is onion powder and this and garlic powder, pink Himalayan sea salt. I always use pink Himalayan sea salt. It's got much more nutritional value with all the micronutrients that are not in iodized table salt. I blend that for just a second. And this is really great because it's a silencer. So when you're blending a lot, it's nice to have. So then this is the capecarbonin. This comes from a red sea plant, or it's like sea algae, but it's white because it's processed. Imagine if you were to melt Jell-O, it's not going to form back up if you put it back into a bowl. But when you use capecarbonin, it does. So it gives you that ability to go kind of back and forth, where you can melt it on your nachos and like you don't need them all. You put it.
I thought I was the only one who ate leftover nachos.
Yeah. The last thing that we talked about is the lactic acid. Acid is a disruptor to the chemical structure of what happens with the capecarbonin and the heat. It has to hit like 175 to activate the gelling property. But if I were to introduce lemon, any acid, apple cider vinegar, the lactic acid, it's going to interfere and inhibit. But I'm working right now on integrating the oil with the batter. Sometimes it doesn't completely combine, so I'll throw it back in the blender before pouring it into the mold. The starch starts clumping up just like gravy at Thanksgiving, but it'll mellow out. So you can see it's starting to thicken up. What'll happen is it'll start to kind of fall off this, but it's congealed. And if I were in my kitchen with the marble countertops or granite, whatever it is, a lot of times I'll just take it and I'll drip it onto the countertop and I'll see that it's gelling up. And you want to do this like on a medium heat, medium, even a little bit higher than medium. One of the learning curve things is I was doing it too low, mm-hmm. and it was just like not gelling up. So you got to find like where on your stove is that magic spot. So I can tell the still isn't there and there's clumps. So mm-hmm. I may likely put it back into the blender.
At what point did you add that last ingredient?
I haven't added it yet. I'll add it when I can see that it's like molecular.
Otherwise it'll separate?
No, it'll inhibit the ability for the kappa carrageenan to gel up.
Okay.
So I just dropped this into the mold and I can see it's mm-hmm. not ready yet. Mm-hmm.
So that's what you said you would do, like, on your marble countertop.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I can see that it's starting to yeah. thicken. It kind of, it pulls away from
yeah.
the side without sticking.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that?
So if you have this at the perfect temperature, how long do you think this step would take?
5 to 7 minutes, typically. All right, so now I'm going to put in the lactic acid. And I always like to kind of go heavy on my lactic acid, because that's where that tang comes from. That's about it on the process of how to make it. And then it's just really about experimenting with adding different flavors, adding different herbs, trying different quantities of things. If you wanted it a lot firmer, you'd add more kappa carrageenan. If you wanted it a lot more tangy, you'd add more lactic acid. If you want it completely as a sauce and without any firmness at all, you don't use the kappa carrageenan at all, because the starch will give it that stretchability that would be enough for fondue. It takes 8 hours for it to set up. So I already made the ones that you guys will take home with you this morning. They're in that size mold. And then, so when you get home, you just want to put it in the fridge and, you know, wait until like later tonight or tomorrow if you want to eat it directly. They will last as long as the milk lasts that you buy if you're buying commercial milk. If you're buying your almonds or cashews and making your own milk, you're looking at 2 weeks to a month of shelf life with the cheese, and you can freeze it without any compromise to texture or taste. There's no reason not to make a big batch.
The group was fully attentive during the demonstration, with lots of questions and genuine interest in taking their newfound culinary skills home with them. There was nothing but high praise.
What did you think?
Some of the best cheeses I've had yet.
Yeah.
Best cheeses overall or vegan cheeses?
Period. Overall.
Okay.
I think my husband and I agree that our favorites were the goat cheese, quote unquote, the chevre, I don't know how to pronounce it. And I love the texture of the mozzarella, the one you make with the coconut. I just love the tanginess of that last one that we did.
I'm a cheddar fan, so that smoky cheddar was excellent.
I definitely like the idea of making them yourself, and they're more fresh tasting. You get a lot of like oily or sticky in other vegan cheeses, and so these are definitely more fresh and refreshing.
I definitely think that making our own vegan cheese is much easier now, or it's a bigger possibility than it was before. Made some. Samantha's definitely experimented a little bit more than I have. I'm really enthusiastic now to try and make some aged cheeses, because I love some stinky old cheese.
It's not as difficult as it's made out to be. I think it might be a little more time consuming than most people want to put into something, but if you're into fresh ingredients, fresh food, then I think it's awesome. And I'm excited to try it out.
And you've tried some of the commercial stuff and you're not completely satisfied.
Yeah, I would say there's a few, but they cost quite a bit of money. So
yeah.
It would be nice to spend a little less and make it ourselves. But I love also buying her cheese too. I don't think I'll stray away from that too much. We go to the local farmer's market and buy some of her mozzarella, and we have the smoky cheddar too.
Yeah.
So there you go. Vegan cheese has come to the Central Coast. And if you think it's a passing fad, well,
I follow maybe half a dozen different people across the United States that are doing this. It's really becoming a thing. I have my Google alert set up for vegan cheese, and I get dinged every day with multiple articles. So it's on the rise right now.
So go on, buy some at the grocery store, pick some up at the farmer's market, or make it at home. Vegan cheese, it just might breeze still your heart, and you'll be shredded in the right direction for a feta topping, for a feta pizza, and you will become quite fondue of vegan cheese. Okay, I'll stop there. This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.